Good morning, it's Dove, and recording a talk on a topic that's pretty timely, not perfectly timely. It's regarding the Akedah, which was previous Parsha, but it's always a timely topic because we say the Akedah, many days of the year before Shacharis. A lot of people say the Akedah. Many people have a minute not to say it for Shabbos, Yontif, except for Rosh Hashanah and Hoshana Rabbah, maybe. And there's a reason for that, which relates to this talk itself, and to the previous talk I gave about Noach Shabbos and two different Shlavim in Avodas Hashem that the Sfasemis talks about, and how that relates to recovery exactly, because recovery, as I understand it and try to live it, is basically the shlav of Noah. But that's another talk. The point I want to kind of focus on in this short talk is going to be on the Akedah, Yitzchak Avinu, and the third step that Goyim and Jews and, all the 12-step groups try to live by. And that's the purpose, actually. The third step, changing from making a decision to turn my will and my life into God's care, putting my will and my life in His care is the third step. It's that care. That's the focus of it, that I put it in His care. That is a decision in the third step. The rest of the steps are changing it from a decision into an action. How do I actually put my will and my life into God's care, practically speaking? That's steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. They're all in order to get a third step. So that's basically the talk. And I want to start off with a very beautiful piece in Lech Lecha, actually. talk about different parshas being used together. By the father or grandfather of Rabbi Twersky, who I think his name was Yaakov Yisrael, He has a piece in Lech Lecha that's very short and sweet, and it describes a tremendous yisod in his view of Avodas Hashem, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Twersky's view in Avodas Hashem in general. He says, why didn't Hashem say to, and this will relate back to the whole subject of this talk and tie it together pretty nicely, I think. He asks a question, why didn't Hashem say, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, u'mimolaretecha, to Eretz Yisrael? Why didn't he just tell Avraham where he was going? Say Lech Lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. Why did he say to him El Ha'aretz Asher Areka in future tense, that I will show you in the future? Which happened over the next 3 days, right? He showed him. And then finally, at the end, he looked up and he saw the mountain, and it was like, obviously it dawned on him, yep, that's the place, So why didn't he know before, on the way that they were going, exactly where he was going? Hashem didn't want him to know. So he says that in general, in life, in growth, in Avodas Hashem in particular, he's not talking about addiction at all, because addiction and Avodas Hashem are two separate things. Recovery is Avodas Atzmi. It's what do I need to do for myself, and Avodas Hashem is for God's sake, and that's not what recovery is about. If you and I were ready to recover for God's sake and to stop masturbating for God's sake, then we would have stopped that stuff long ago, but we didn't. Obviously, something's missing, and that's what it is. This is the ingredient, that it needs to be for our sake, for myself, enlightened self-interest. And that's the impetus for a sacrifice of myself to God. Why? Ultimately, because that's what I need to do for myself. And that's the focus of this talk in general. So why not tell him where he's going? So Rabbi Twersky's grandfather explains that he feels that once we know where we're going, it ruins our ability to get there. And he says once you think you know exactly how you're supposed to end up looking, being, you'll never get there. And that's for two reasons. One is because change is painful, emotionally, psychologically painful. It's scary. Look at the Yidden in the Midbar. The way that Ibn Ezra teaches the refusal of Bnei Israel to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the fighting on the way out of Mitzrayim, the difficulties to get out of Mitzrayim, and the difficulties staying out of Mitzrayim. We want to go back. This, that. It's all because the Ibn Ezra says they were babies. They were slaves. They were used to being taken care of. They weren't ready emotionally. They had no confidence that they would be able at all to survive and make it. And that fear itself meant they weren't ready emotionally, and therefore they refused it. So change is painful. If change is painful, then there's going to be, if we knew all the ways that we would be when we were done, we would look at it and say, oh my God, that's like getting an arm and a leg cut off and an artificial one put on, and that's better than the one I have. I don't want to lose the arm I have. Which one of you would willingly go for surgery where your arms both get cut off and replaced with arms that are 50 times better than the ones that you have? None of you would. None of us would do that. Not just because we're afraid that the surgery won't work, but because we don't want our arms cut off, period. And that's what change is like. Change is something that we avoid like the plague. We're afraid of it. And that's tshuva as well, and recovery as well. If you knew exactly what you would look like when you finished the whole thing, you wouldn't want it. Not because it's not better, it's 50 times better. But you wouldn't want it because it's just different. It's too different. And when we are confronted with the true difference, it becomes scary. That's just human nature. It becomes very unpalatable. The other reason is because once you have an idea, once I have an idea in my mind of where exactly I'm supposed to go, then I start to figure out how to get there, become the Bilim, the master over the whole process, and my arrogance just destroys the entire thing. I plan this, I plan that, I figure this out, I figure that out. That's why the AAs frequently say, figure it out. That's not one of our mottos, okay? AA has lots of mottos. Figure it out is not one of them. So this is why. Because when you're figuring things out, you destroy where you're going. And that's exactly what Rabbi Twersky writes it's quoted in the Sefer Malchus Shlomo, if you can get a copy, Malchus Shlomo, and it's on Parshas Lech Lecha. It's the second piece, maybe, in Parshas Lech Lecha, where he says this. I don't recall. And it's a short piece. Anyway, so not knowing is better than knowing for those two reasons, and maybe others that I'm not aware of. But inherent in not being told where you're going is a sacrifice of will. It's saying, I surrender myself up into your care, and I follow your directions, even though I don't know what they are exactly. Nasa v'nishma means nishma v'nasa v'nishma. I'm going to hear what you, because obviously nasa v'nishma doesn't mean I'm going to do the mitzvahs, because I don't know what they are. So you can't do them if you don't know what they are. But I'm going to do them when I hear them, you know? So in other words, I hear tefillin, I hear tzitzis, I hear kashrus, I hear this. I'm going to do what you say, except as I do them, my understanding of them is going to change. As I practice this Judaism, Torah, Yiddishkeit, then my perception is going to change, not just of the mitzvah, but even of myself and certainly of you, God. You know the story, the beautiful story that they tell in the name of Reb Sadia Gaon, some people say it in the name of other tzaddikim, that he was at an inn and the owner gave him a poor room because he thought he was just a beggar, and he was so humble that he didn't complain about it. Not a beggar, but just a regular guy, you know. And he put him with the in the extra room in like a common room because there were no individual rooms left. So after the Shabbos, the owner finds out because someone says, oh, that's Reb Sadia going, you know, or something. Probably it was when Reb Sadia was rather young and not yet the, you know, the exilar, you know, the gone. But the owner comes over in tears and he says, my God, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't realize who you were. I should have thrown out, you know, the other people from the hotel and given you the best room. And it's like, I'm so sorry. Had I known who you were yesterday, I never would have treated you the way that I did. Now I know who you are. I'm so sorry. And he looks up, he sees the tzaddik on the floor crying with him. And he listens and he says, the tzaddik is saying to Hashem, he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand you better today than I did yesterday. Of course, that's what Avodas Hashem is about. Right? The Baal Shem Tov says that if you're not a little tiny bit of a different person after you daven Shemoneh Esrei each time, then there was something missing in that Shemoneh Esrei. That's part of what Shemoneh Esrei is about, to try to change a tiny bit as a person. Not just your actions, but your perceptions, a human being. You're a different being, not just a human doing, right? So had I known, the tzaddik says, who you were as much as I do today, yesterday, had I known you, the way I know you today, the avoda I did yesterday, I never would have done it that way. I look back at my avoda and I see it was immature, it was silly. Had I known like I know now, I never would have done it that way, you know? And that's a tremendous yesod, not in shame and self-disgust, but in self-acceptance, that that's what we are. We are grown people, and our perception today is better, hopefully, than it was yesterday and last week and last month. We're grown people, and as the Tomer Devar talks about through all the mitos, practically, Hashem is Kaviyochel realizes that and accepts us 100% exactly who we are without any change, without any necessity to change whatsoever. And he loves us and he gives us everything, even though we're using it against him in many ways, because we're going to grow, because we're growing. And he knows that. And that's the truth. And we look back at our avoda, and it's important for us to accept that we're grown people and this is the way of life. So if we know, getting back to the point, if we know where we're going or think we know where we're going, then we're never going to get there because we'll be wrong and also because we won't want to actually be that way if we get the true perception and see the change that's inherent in our future selves. And that's the nature of change. True change is painful. And if you go, oh, yeah, I'd love to, da-da-da-da-da, that means you don't really understand what that change is. This is the phenomenon where I see a lot of guys on Guard Your Eyes over the many years, thank God, that I've been. They'll like, text me or PM me or email me or something, and they'll say, and they'll say, Dove, you know, or whatever. They'll just write a post. And they'll say, like crying, and like, oh, my God, if Rabboni Shel Olam, Tata in Himmel, if you could just take this away from me, take it away, I wish with my whole, every fiber of my being, my nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and chia, chaya, and yechida, and every part of me is
pulsating with this tremendous, overwhelming desire to just finally stop. If I could only finally quit, finally, tshuva gemura. You know, that's the cry and the tshuva gemura, not just tshuva gemura, where I know that etc. You know, oh, so you show us a makam, oh, so this, oh, so that, and I still aren't going to, I'm giving this gaber, I'm never going to come back to it ever again. If God would offer them that right there at that spot, come to them and say, okay, I'll take out your lust, the guy would say, whoa, wait a minute, but hang on. But with my wife, I can still do these adventures, and I can still get it, of course, in a kosher way and channel my yetzer hara, and like, oh, all of a sudden there are conditions. But that's the way that we are when change comes. That's the way that I am and everybody is. That's the way it is when a human being is faced with true change. And this is why when people post and they say, you know, I need to change, and they read the guard your eyes thing, finally opening up, finally getting out of isolation, I'm ready, I'm so ready. It's amazing how there should be a law. I'm so ready, you know. And then they'll text me or PM me or email me, and they'll say, you know, hi, my name is Tshuva613. I'm finally ready. I can't stand this anymore. And I say, okay, call me tonight between 8 and 10 p.m. here, you know, and if you can, let me know. I'll give you my phone number. And the guy says, well, I'm not ready for that yet, you know. I'm not, yeah, well, that's a level that I'm not ready for yet. In other words, well, talk to a real person in person. You're going to see my phone number. Oh. And it realizes, you know, he has, you know, what do you do? The guy's going to see my phone number. Well, Dove's going to give me his actual phone number. So why am I afraid of giving, he's not afraid to give me his phone number, but I'm not comfortable with that yet. Oh, so now you have to be comfortable. So what he's looking for isn't freedom, what he's looking for is comfort. And the reason that this guy is hurting so badly because of his terrible avarice and everything is because they make him uncomfortable. It's not for Hashem, it's not because he's really ready, it's just that he can't stand the pain he feels after he acts out. And boy, do I understand that, you know? But the actual willingness to change, the path that I'm going on isn't there, because he's not willing to take any real risks and become vulnerable in any way yet, because it's all about comfort still. How is that going to make me comfortable? It's too uncomfortable itself, you know? So the willingness is there, but it's not really there. So what is the willingness? What is the willingness that's necessary for real change? So there are two places that we see that in the Torah. One, I believe, is in the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Jedaiah, very nicely, and the other one is in the Akedah. Before I get to the Akedah and explain the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Jedaiah in relation to what I'm talking about, I want to bring a Sfas-Emes to you and just alert you to a concept that the Sfas-Emes really clarifies nicely, beautifully. He makes a beautiful, the Shulah HaKadosh actually brings this himself in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where he talks about Korbanos in general. If you open up a Shulah, look in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. I'm not sure if it's right in the start or if it's in the section called Torah Or, which is his section on the explanation of the inyan of the Parsha. But right away in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra somewhere, he talks about the concept of Korbanos in general. And he and the Sfas-Emes kind of goes off of that material and explains a little further than what the Shulah talks about. But the Shulah says, Adam ki yakrev mikem, Korban Lashem. Okay. What's Adam ki yakrev mikem? So he brings three taiches. One taich of why it says Adam. It doesn't say Adam ki yilokach lachem creates hadar kapostmer imanafet zavos va'arve nochal. He doesn't say Adam ki yochel matzah. You know, there are only a few places where he says this term Adam da 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 Adam ki yamas ba'ol, and Adam ki yakriv mikem, and maybe there's one more. But anyway, so and the Shulchan Aruch connects them. But and you'll understand this implicitly as I go on what the connection between Adam ki yamas ba'ol and Adam ki yakriv mikem is. But he says Adam ki yakriv mikem. So he brings three taiches. One is that Adam was Adam Arishon. And just like when Adam Arishon, the Gemara brings this, just like Adam Arishon, he brought Korbanos from his own because it was impossible for him to steal because there was nobody else owned anything. So there's no stealing. And just like Adam Arishon, in his case, he couldn't bring it from stealing. You mustn't bring from stolen animals Korbanos. Fine. The Shulchan Aruch asks, by the way, if he couldn't have stolen, so then how does the mitzvah even apply to him exactly? But whatever, it's a very interesting piece. The other taich that he says is Adam ki yakriv mikem, is that when he taiches it in a literal kind of sense, that when you ki yakriv mikem, when you're makriv a behema, it's Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who you sacrifice from among you. Because a korban is like sacrificing a person. Why? Because, he says, the gilgulim of many people are in animals. And when you sacrifice an animal, you could be sacrificing your grandmother. You know, you could be sacrificing some, who knows who you're, there's a person you're sacrificing. And you're bringing their neshama up to a higher level by doing that, using them for a korban l'Hashem. It's a little creepy, I know. But that's what he says. The other taich is, and this is the one I want to focus on, and this is what it has to do with the Akedah. The Sfasema says that we all know the Ramban. The Ramban brings that Karbanos, you're supposed to have the Kavana, that it's you, that you're being makriv on the Mizbeach. I'm being makriv myself. That's my Kavana when I go into the Beis HaMikdash. I'm being makriv myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban, if you look at it, you'll see it's not just talking about a Chatas, where I deserve to die because of this terrible aver and I'm sacrificing myself instead of dying. That's not what the Ramban's talking about exactly. If you look carefully, you'll see what he's saying is that in any korban, especially in Ola, which we do every morning and every afternoon in the Mikdash for the whole Klal Yisrael, but whenever anybody brings a korban, it's a shlomim, it's an Ola, whatever it is, a chatas, this korban is... It's a sacrifice of self. It's taking myself and saying, I love you so much, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to sacrifice myself. I'll burn myself up to you. I want to give myself over to you. That's really what every korban is. And when the animal dies on the Mizbeach, when the animal is burned on the Mizbeach, etc., it's all me giving pieces of myself up or my whole self up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the tachlis of a korban. Where is this from, the Sfasemis asks, that a korban can be considered a person? He says it's from the Akedah. Because when Abraham Avinu was makriv Yitzchak tried to be makriv Yitzchak on the Akedah, and the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer says that he died, etc. So when all that happened, what was happening was the Ribbono Shel Olam was arranging it so, through the avoda of Abraham and Yitzchak, that a korban of a yid could be considered like he's being makriv himself. That established in the Bria the existence of this concept of a korban being vicarious, you know, that it's the person being sacrificing himself, surrendering himself to God. This explains why, because Yitzchak did it willingly, and Avraham did it willingly too. This explains why in the Siddurim, you'll see, especially in Eidot HaMizrach, you'll see that the Siddur will say, many Siddurim say this, and because of the halacha it's brought, to say Shema with the Kavana that I'm accepting on myself Arba Mitot Beit Din, that I'm accepting on myself the four types of death that the Beis Din uses for different people that are have to have capital punishment. Okay, this is the idea. Why do you have to die? Why does it say I accept upon myself the Arba Mises Beis Din, and the Arizal has a whole thing about it, the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav, and the Hey, at nighttime in Kriya Shema. This one is connected to Chenek and Hereg and this and that. You know, what's going on over here? Is this a guilt thing? Is this because of my Averis? Is that the idea, that in Shema we say, I give myself up to Hashem with the Arba Mises Beis Din, because of my Averis I deserve it? Is that what it's about? Or is it like Rabbi Akiva, who said, Kol yamai hitzta'arti al pasuk zeh masa yavoi liyadi v'akayamena. When is this pasuk of avdel b'chol nafshechem, or rather from the first parak, v'havta es Hashem lekecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol nadecha. And nafshecha means, how do you love Hashem with your whole nefesh, with your whole soul? How do you do that? The answer is, afilu hu notelas nafshecha. And Rabbi Akiva said, Masa yavo liyadi v'akayamena, when am I finally going to be able to love Hashem with my soul, that I give it over to Him? Rabbi Akiva wanted to die, right? What did Patrick Henry say, Lahavdil? I think was it Patrick Henry? He said, my only regret is that I have but one life to give for my country. Reb Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, used to bring this chazal frequently and talk about this story of Patrick Henry and use it as a seminal for what our dying al Kiddush Hashem is supposed to be. That we're supposed to say, Gevalt, I wish I could die al Kiddush Hashem. This is the story of the Chafetz Chaim, we know, opened up the Aron one day. Somebody, he didn't know that he wasn't the only one in the Beis Medrash, and he cried and he said, God, when will I be zocheh to die for you? And people say that that Hashem never gave him that gift, that opportunity, because the Chafetz Chaim died of natural causes. But his student, Rabbi Hanan, was mekayem that by dying al Kiddush Hashem. So what's going on over here exactly? That's the issue here. Why should we be wanting to die? Are we walking around? Is this what Yiddishkeit is, walking around with this desire to like finally die, to expiate myself of my horrible sins because I'm a shmata and a disgusting loser, and that's what Hashem wants, that a piece of direct like me should finally drop dead, you know? No, that's obviously not it. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which includes dying al Kiddush Hashem, is not because of my sins. It's because of love. The ahavta es Hashem lekecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. Rabbi Akiva didn't have to die to God, die because of his sins. Rabbi Akiva had to die. He felt he had to die to give himself up, to surrender to God. He wanted to surrender himself. That's what he wanted to do. Masa yavo liyadi v'akayamena. And this is what Avraham and Yitzchak were doing in the Akedah. You know, Avraham, who was like the right hand, was tying up the left hand. That's what you do when you put on tefillin. You use your right hand, because the mitzvah of tefillin is done with your strong hand, because you put it on your yad keheh, your left hand. Who puts it on the left hand? The right hand. So the mitzvah itself, ukshartam, is done with the right hand. Ukshartam laos al yadecha. That's done with the right hand. Your right hand does the ukshartam. It does the tying. That's Avraham, the right hand, which is chesed. Ties the left hand, which is gevura, that's Yitzchak. This is what we get. This is what we're doing in tefillin. Every morning, we're tying up that left hand as the mitzvah of the Akedah. And this is what the Sfarim say our kavana should be. Because every morning we're looking for that opportunity to give ourselves over and do the Akedah and embody the Akedah in ourselves as the zechus of us by following in the maise of us. That's the concept here. So what is this giving over of myself? The Tzetel Katan, right in the beginning, the Rebbe of Melech talks about this idea also. Right in the beginning, giving myself over to Hashem, plotting to die al-Kiddush Hashem, throw myself in a fire. And every time I have a hanah to think, I'd rather be dying al-Kiddush Hashem than have this hanah. He talks about this concept, and they teach it to kids back in the 1800s, you know? It's just amazing. How are we shy after these things? What's going on? What does this really mean for us? So what I want to say is that And I hope that up until here, the points are clear, that the sacrifice to Hashem isn't the sacrifice of guilt. It's a surrender. It's a surrender out of love. That's what Yiddishkeit is really coming down to, saying Shema, the pasuk of Yiddishkeit. A Yid dies with the pasuk. It's the first pasuk you teach your child. That or Torah's evil and emotion. But Shema Yisrael is a close second. Okay, so Shema Yisrael, that's what it is, and giving your life over and dying al Kiddush Hashem, meaning makriv myself like a korban, not a chatas, every korban, an ola, it's to say I want to give myself up to Hashem completely. Kol ol taktar. And you know, what is this about? That's Yiddishkeit. Surrender in recovery isn't Yiddishkeit, because it's not recovery, the 12 steps, is not religious. It's not a religion. It's using religious ideas, as the big book says, but it's not religion itself, because we don't define who God is. It's the God of your understanding. How could that be religion? You know, religion is about serve me, do these things, you know. You know, so what is going on here, you know? So what I'd like to clarify is that, among other things, is that recovery is for myself. It's enlightened self-interest. Religion can be for God, because in religion, I'm trying to give myself over for Hashem for His sake, because it's the right thing to do, not because it's better for me. That's not the point, because it's better for me. It's because for Him, because I love Him. I want Him. I want to be close to Him. I want to be close to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's out of love. You know, He didn't see it as an obligation that, oh, I have to be Yaitse by 9:30. No. You know, it's an opportunity. It's out of love. It's self-sacrifice out of love, not to get anything in return. That's what love is. The Gra says that you can't do a tova to somebody by giving them back a favor for a favor. Because when He did His favor for you, it was a favor. He didn't owe you. It wasn't din. It was chesed. He did you a favor. So when you try to pay Him back with a favor, you're only doing din. This is like schar va'onesh. It's not ava. There's no ava in schar va'onesh. Ava comes from schar va'onesh comes from ima ilah. That's bina. That's olam hanashamah. That's gvura. That's what you deserve. This is a chesed. You're trying to do the guy a favor. How do you do a guy a favor back because he did you a favor? That's not repaying him. You have to do him two favors, the Gra says, because now you're doing him a tova that he doesn't deserve in payment. You understand? So this ahava, this Rabbi Akiva thing, this giving over your life for Hashem, the akedah that they did willingly, it was for God. It was for God, not for themselves. That's not recovery. Recovery is about doing it for myself. Recovery is exactly what Chazal mean when they say derech eretz kodma l'torah. Derech eretz is a priority over Torah. It comes first. It's before Torah. You need derech eretz before you're able to truly approach Torah the way it should be approached. Derech eretz is absolute necessity first. And second of all, it's more important and more basic. It's more basic. That's what you need first. Derech eretz kodma l'Torah. The same thing in Chazal where they say, poison, right? There's a certain minhagim about meat and fish and different things. Poison, things that are considered a sakanta, a health risk, is chamira me'isura. We're more stringent in avoiding physical dangers to our health than we are al pi halacha. This is halacha. You have to be more careful, more strict, more in a health risk, in a sakana, than in an iser, than in a ritual iser, like treif, for example. So fish and meat, that's a sakanta, that's not an iser at all. So you have to be more chamor in, this is the chazal, sakanta, chamir, sakanta, meisura. So recovery is about sakanta, that's derech eretz, that's survival, that's mental health, that's sanity, that's self-honesty. That comes before Yiddishkeit. The Torah doesn't talk about self-honesty because it's assumed, like this is what Shari Kedusha, you know, the Reb Chaim Vital, writes right in the beginning, that Derech Eretz, the basic tikkun amidah, self-honesty, realness, ne'emanus, these are basic human characteristics that all avoda is based on. That's why the Torah doesn't talk about them specifically, because it's all based on that. That's an assumption that you've got that. Because otherwise, why would you be doing this? And the answer is, we've established the whole structure around why you would be doing it, because, you know, you come and you sing, and the Rebbe does this, and the Tzaddik does that, and that's what everybody dresses like this, and we all do this, because that's what we do. You know, we've established the reason, and it's not the Torah. It's culture. Tarbut, it's culture. It's our society. Well, we all dress like this. We all do that. None of us cut our payas, you know. We all learn Torah all day. We don't do this mitzvah. Now it's Hanukkah. We all light. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to. Where's God? Where am I deciding to do it because it's the right thing to do? So this is why the Brisker Rav would want to learn halachas of each thing before he would do that thing. He would sit and he would learn the halachas of that mitzvah. Frequently, many tzaddikim did such a thing, Chazanish, many others. What's the idea here? The idea isn't just that I should do it right. No, it's to understand the source and remember what the source is, reconnect it to the source. And like the Rambam says, Rishus Nasuna L'chol Ish Lias Tzaddik O'Rasha, this is the yesod of everything. Boys, girls, guess what? It's a choice. You're choosing to do these things. That's the beauty in it. That's the power in it. That's the power in the mitzvah, that you chose to do it. Not that you were obligated to do it, that you chose to do it. So, if we're choosing to do this thing, then it's going to change us. If you have to do it because you have to do it, it's not going to change you very much. You know, ha'adam nifal kifi pu'ulosav, except it's a very long, slow path to hammer in change through doing different, if you're not attached to it. Learning the halachas through and through, remembering the source in the Torah for this mitzvah, and remembering that God gave us the Torah and this is what he wants of us, and loving him, fearing him and loving him, and doing it for that reason builds a Jew. But mindlessly following it doesn't build very much, because every religion and everybody else is doing the same thing with their stuff. Why is this stuff better than theirs? Okay, it talks to your neshama, it does a tikkun, but that's a very small part of it. That's not a vodas Hashem. That's like magic, you know? And a short interlude about Yitzchak, please. I want to just say that the Sfasema says, I think really beautifully, a very important point about Yitzchak that has to do with the title of his talk, and it fits together nicely, pulls together a couple of pieces too. The Sfasema asks a question, very simple question a lot of other people have probably dealt with in different ways. he asks, why is Yitzchak, of all people, called Yitzchak? You would think that Yitzchak, meaning he will laugh or something like that, some kind of formulation of he will laugh or will laugh, coming from Yitzchak Li, the people will laugh at me, that Sarah said, or just, you know, that Avraham Avinu laughed when he was told, and Sarah laughed when the Malachim gave them a bracha about that they'll have a child, you know. So And then he's named Yitzchak, and you see by Yishmael that he was mitzachek, you know, he was kind of playing. And there's another reference to Yitzchak, you know, and to the Indian of Schok, rather. But the Svasema says, with all these references, this is just coincidence. Why should Yitzchak, whose relationship with God is called Pachad, Yitzchak Avi, Yaakov Avinu says, that Yitzchak was relationship to God was called Pachad. His midah was Yira. His midah was his avoda was like stamped in him during the Akedah when Hashem said, Ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata to Avraham, his father. That this was a maisa ultimately of Yiras Shemayim on some level, because his ava sort of ran out, as the Sfasana discusses it. The ava came to a point, and then, you know, he needed to add Yira to the ava to make it actually work when it came to the Akedah, because it made no sense. So Yitzchak also, besides that, Yitzchak himself is referred to in Sfarim as Keneged the Midah of Bina or Keneged the Midah of Gvura, whereas Abraham is Keneged, you know, the Midah of Chachma or the Midah of Chesed. So Yitzchak is the other side. Like I said in this talk, the left hand is the Gvura hand, the right hand is the Chesed hand. You put the tefillin on, wrapping, tying up the left hand with the tefillin straps. That's reminiscent of the Akedah of wrapping up, tying up the binding of Yitzchak, the left hand, meaning Gevurah. The Chesed overcame the Gevurah in the Akedah. That's what it means. Abraham Avinu, just like Abraham Avinu, is Kavash Rachamav, and this, you know, it's what he did was he basically said, I, Avraham, am overcoming Yitzchak, and in the zechus of this, Hashem will overcome the Gevurah when the Jews, God forbid, don't deserve good things. Fine. So, but why would Yitzchak, of all people, be called Yitzchak, which is like a happy midah of laughter? I would pick a different name, something a little more serious. Svasemis answers very straightforward. That he says, very interesting lashon. He says, to me, I bet that if you would meet Yitzchak, if you would actually see Yitzchak, you would see the happiest guy in the world. You know, why? So he explains, because all the other tzaddikim needed Yiras Shemayim to overcome the Yetzirah. They needed this to overcome the Yetzirah. They needed that. Yitzchak had no fear of the Yetzer Hara whatsoever, because he was in a constant state, at least since the Akedah, a constant awareness of God, true Yiras Haromimus, all the time. B'li Hefzik, he was an Ola Tamima. He was completely surrendered to God. That's what an Ola is, as I said in the beginning. An Ola is a korban that's burnt all up to God. He was living, burnt up completely to God. That's an Ola Tamima. Therefore, he couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem was Miyachid Shmo, Olav, B'chayav, etc. Yitzchak was different. Yitzchak, the Svasana says, if the Yitzhar comes to him and says, you want this, you want covered, you want this, you want that, Yitzchak would laugh. And he would say, I'm doing big things here. You're coming to me with lollipops. You know, I'm serving Hashem over here. Wait, you're coming to me with cupcakes. That's Yitzchak. He just laughs at the whole, like, you know, the whole, all these things. He just laughs at them. So he's walking around with no fear, with no worries about the future. He's like constantly, it's okay. There's a God. It's all right, you know, more than other tzaddikim. Yosef HaTzadik is a whole different kind of thing of seeing God in everything and all that stuff. Yitzchak is different. Yitzchak is an idea of God overcomes everything for me. You know, gevura. That Hashem is gover over everything. There is no worry. There is no danger. There is no problem here. And there's no temptation at all either. Completely given over to Hashem. Just like at the Akedah. Kafseni, tie me up. You know, he said, make me completely subservient to God. Show with the action of the Akedah of binding me that there is nothing else for me but God, you know? And that's Yitzchak's Mida. My sponsor, Jeff, would say to me when we talked about the third step, he would say, Dov, you're never going to do the third step perfectly as long as you're alive. Not going to happen. Nobody does that. Nobody fully puts themselves over in God's hands, into God's care, fully. Because if you really did that, you wouldn't be afraid of anything, ever. And that's what, and he was mechaven, he was a guy, but he was mechaven too, the Sfasemis over here. Yitzchak was given over. He was an embodiment of a person who actually did what addicts would call the third step. In addiction, recovery, we would call it the third step. Yitzchak Avinu did it in a completely different way. Like I was saying at the beginning of the talk, he didn't do it because of need, because of, you know, practical need like an addict does, Derech Eretz. No, Yitzchak did it out of choice, out of love, ultimately. It was all these people, all the Midos, are all dressing around love. In other words, I'm given over to Hashem. I want to be given over to Hashem. And that's where all the Gevura, you know, he did Gevura. He lived the life of Gevura for Hashem's sake, out of love. And that's why the Sfasana says Yitzchak is called Yitzchak, who is laughter, and which comes from joy, especially, you see, by Avraham, it came completely out of joy. That's why he was laughing. And that explains the connection to me as an addict. When I look at Yitzchak, I think to myself, he's not an addict. He's never going to be an addict. He never was an addict. He never needed to give himself over to Hashem for some practical purpose. He chose to do it out of goodness, you know, out of love, out of a desire to serve Hashem and to be all that he could be for Hashem, and or perhaps for himself as well. I don't know. But not because of some kind of a need like I will and like all addicts who work the 12 steps will. So to me, he's a symbol of the third step, perfectly done. You know, something that Masa Yagiyu Ma'isai L'Ma'isai Avosai, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. I'm never going to reach it, like the Sfarim of the Hasidim say. Sefer Hasidim says, Masa Yagiyu Ma'isai L'Ma'isai Avosai. When will my deeds reach the Ma'isim of the Avos, of our forefathers? They'll never touch it. They'll just reach it. They'll never actually overlap. You know, they'll just touch against the outside edge. By Yitzchak, it's more true than ever. You know, I know I'm never going to be that way. If I'm falling from something, I know I'm going to feel, oh no, I'm going to die, you know, even if I won't. Oh no, I'm going to break my leg. Oh no, I'm going to get hurt. You know what I mean? I know I'll feel that. Yitzchak Avinu wouldn't feel that, it seems to me. Everything that came around, he was just happy because he wasn't afraid of the Yetzirah either. Anyway, and the Yetzirah basically left him alone, which is why some of the Sfarim referred to him as though he was dead already. You'll see it. Look around. They refer to Yitzchak as he was basically dead. The Yetzirah left him alone for his whole life after the Akedah. Anyway, I think that this will tie into the idea of him being considered being dead will tie into how I'm going to explain the Maisa of Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya a little bit later. So please keep that in mind, okay? I'm going to discuss what it means when it says that he died and how that's so similar to Yitzchak being basically dead meaning not chas v'shalom dead that he's irrelevant, not chas v'shalom dead that he's, there's no more scar, there's no more onus, there's no more anything. No, basically dead meaning that he gave himself over to God. He didn't have himself anymore. For himself, from his own perspective, it's as though, Einani, here I am, there is no me. There's no me, there's only you, God. That's a very high level. And that's for Yitzchak. And now enjoy the rest of the talk. So getting back to the point about the Akedah, and I'm going to tie in, God willing, finish up now, very soon, tying in the Reb Elazar ben Dedaya story. Sacrificing myself is really what the Akedah is really giving us, to remember to do that. And I'm trying to remember exactly where I was. I'm sorry. The story, let's just go to the story of Rebbe Elazar ben Dedaya then, because I'm losing my focus. I apologize for that. The story of Rebbe Elazar ben Dedaya, we know, is a fellow who went to prostitute after prostitute, lo hiniach, lo zona. He didn't leave even one prostitute that he didn't go to. And then he heard that there was one far away. He crossed seven rivers to get to her, and this and that. And he finally gets to her, and she passes some wind in the middle of, and she gets gold and silver he gives her, and then she's, you know, she has some flatulence or something, or she belches or something maybe while they're having sex, and then she says to him, oh, just like that's never coming back, it's not coming back in into the body. It's gone. So Elazar is never coming back in tshuva, never coming back to like God and all that. So he was affected by that because it slipped under his radar. He wasn't expecting to hear that from her. So his defenses weren't up. You know, his comfort level wasn't. His comfort meter wasn't running. About, oh well, I'm not ready for that. You know, that wasn't running at the time, and it slipped right under his radar. Whoa, and it affected him. And he went out outside and he started to cry, and he said, he sat between two mountains, I think they're symbolic of Avos and Imahos, they're Harim and Gvos, is the Avos and Imahos, it's the Semesis. Save me. And they said, oh, well, the mountains are going to all fall, so we have to save ourselves. He said, Shemayim and Aretz, which is also father and mother. Shemayim and Aretz, Yismach Shemayim and Sogel Aretz, that's Yismach Aviv, the Friedman Nova Sogel Mo, Yismach Aviv, the Yasefa Latzav, the Sogel Mo, the Friedman Bitna, that refers to Shemayim and Aretz, refers to the male and female in the general schema of the universe, because the Shemayim feeds the Aretz, but with rain. But and it says Shemayim and Aretz save me, and so he's appealing to nature in its male and female. In other words, in its whole, the whole world. So just like Moshe Rabbeinu did, in Oz Yashir, in Hazinu, when he said, Shemayim and Aretz be my witness. So. And then Shemayim and Aretz said, oh, we got to worry about ourselves. And then he said, Kochavim and Azalus, I think, pray for me. He basically went through a litany of, you pray for me, you pray for me, you save me, you save me. And each party said, well, what about us? We can't do it. It's kind of conspicuous, isn't it, that he didn't ask Hashem, you save me, huh? Anybody wondering about that? That he didn't say, where's God? He doesn't mention God anywhere. Why didn't he ask God to save him? Nice question. I'm not going to answer it. But anyway, and then he says, nobody's going to save me. Ein hadavar tzelei ela bi. This matter depends completely on me. And he put his head between his
knees and he cried until he died.
Okay.
So, what I want to suggest is, I mean, what is this Chazal teaching us? That in order to do tshuva, you need to cry until you die, and then maybe you'll be accepted into Olam Haba, and all of us who aren't reaching that level aren't really making it. What's the point of that? What lesson is that giving you? How is that helping you? You know, the other question is, what is this implying, that really we should just drop dead? You know, what is that teaching you? You know, so I want to try to just say that perhaps in a religious way, from a religion and being for God, Elazar, needed to physically die. But I believe that when we do a third step, when Goyim all over the world in AA, Jews all over the world in AA, you know, and Jews and Goyim in any 12-step fellowship, take the third step, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, which are all there for one purpose, to put the third step into action and really put ourselves into God's care, actively put ourselves into God's care in action, you know, in other words, really, you know, that is, the whole program is the third step, is putting myself into God's care and accepting His will and living with God, in God, with God, which I explain in the Noach talk a little bit back in that portion. But anyway, that's the whole point. It's sacrificing myself, giving myself over, you know, mesiras nefesh, and mieshes nafshechem means, like we said in Chayesara here, it's mieshes nafshechem means, do you desire? If it is with your soul, meaning do you desire? If you desire, if you want, your wants are called your nefesh. Your nefesh is your basic ego, your basic wants. You know, and expectations, desires, aspirations, for good and bad. That's your nefesh. David HaMelech is that level of nefesh. Look at all the desire in Tehillim. It's kosa nafshi. It's, you know, it's all desire, Sefer Tehillim. It's desire, hopes, dreams, priorities, planning, hopes, you know, dreams. And you know, that's the level of nefesh. And David HaMelech is basically, and I'm sorry, and im yeshes nafshechem means, you know, what Abraham's talking about is desire, and that's mesiras nefesh. You're not moser your neshama, you're moser your nefesh. That's what God wants. Rachmana liba boi, the lave is what He wants. Liba, that's your nefesh, your desire. What your aspirations, your ego, what you pay attention to, the Maharal says. It gets your attention. Sima slave means it gets your attention because that's what's important to you. So this is what Hashem wants, you, the lave. And this is what Mesiras Nefesh, meaning, which means giving over, surrendering over, not surrendering over the keys, surrendering over myself to you. That surrender is Mesiras Nefesh. This is what Elazar ben Derdaya had to do, because he was probably the only addict story in Chazal. Every other story is about the Yetzer Hara. His story is possibly truly an addiction. And what he had to do, and we can talk about that if you argue about that and you think that every time it says the Yetzer Hara, it means addiction, and every time we talk about addiction, we're talking about the Yetzer Hara. If you want to talk about that, please just email me at wequithiding@gmail.com, wequithiding@gmail.com, and just talk with me about it. Explain to me why you feel that way. I know a lot of people do, but I explain as best I can why that isn't so, I believe. But and I explain more importantly why it's important that that isn't so, and why that's not an attitude that's going to work for you. And basically, like I said before, if you cared about it so much, then you would have stopped a long time ago. So religion isn't going to be your answer. There's something before that, and it's called Derech Eretz, and it's Kadma LaTorah, and that's what was missing all along.
That's why your religion didn't work all these years, and that's why you've been a firm masturbator your whole life, basically. So, I mean, if you're just a regular guy who does an Avera every now and then, you're not a, I don't call you a masturbator. I'm not calling you anything, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about an addict or somebody who thinks they might be an addict. So getting back to my point, Elozer Ben Jedaiah's story was that Lohiniach Zona, he never, you know, he was possibly an addict. So in his case, the solution wasn't God. The solution wasn't, not God, but the solution wasn't godliness. You know, I need to be more frum. Rabbeinu Shalom, save me. He didn't call out to God even once. He called out to the mountains. He called out to the valleys and the stars and the constellations and the Kochavim Azolos, Shemayim, Eretz, sun and the moon he called out to. Shemesh V'Yareach, you know, save me, you know. And none of them could save him, you know. So then what was going on? Why didn't he call out to God? Because it wasn't about religion. He knew religion will not save me. What I need is something before that. I need to give up my Shemayim and Aretz, my heart, the physical, my mother, my father. They're all the male, female. That's what made me. That's what I am. Me, the heart, the basar, the nefesh, the low level. That's what needs. That's where the problem is. The problem isn't in my mind, in my religion. That's not where the problem is. The problem isn't in my, I don't have enough Yiras Shemayim, enough Emuna. That's not the problem. Even if I don't have enough of those things, that's not my problem still. My problem comes long before. I'm screwed up. My body is screwed up. I'm sick. I need the Shemayim and Aretz. I need the mountains and the hills. I need the star, the sun and the moon to save me. In other words, my physical body needs to change. That's the problem. And I need that to be changed. And I'm calling out to myself and saying, I need to change, I need to change. And everybody else says, I need to change too, bye. And then he says, Eina dover toli ela b. He doesn't say the whole thing is toli on Hashem. He doesn't throw himself onto Hashem. Oh, Hashem, please help me. That's a wasted prayer. Oh, help me, take it away from me so I don't have to give it up. No. Eina dover toli ela b. The only thing that's going to make this work is me, if I give it up. And that's what the S.A. White book, Roy, writes. We pray, we pray, we pray, but all the time it's a prayer. God, take it away, please, so that I won't have to give it up. We don't want to give it up. And that's the Akedah. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's the third step. Give it up, put myself into God's hands, means give up. Give myself up, surrender myself over to him, Mesiras Nefesh. That's what Rabbi Elozer Ben Jedaiah did, and that's what it means. He died. That means he died to self, and he awakened to eternal life, as the 11-step prayer in AA goes. It's a very beautiful concept. That's Adam Ki Yamos Va'olo. Ein Divrei Torah Miskayim and Elosh Misha Meimisis Atzmai Aleihem. Oh, that's a chazal too, just like the Rebbe Elozer Ben Jedaiah story. And does it mean literally to die? That you need to die, and therefore the Divrei Torah are going to be miskayim in you? Because you died? But now you're dead. How are you going to do any mitzvahs? Chavetz Chaim has a taich. Many tzaddikim have a taich. What does it mean to die? It means that basically they all say, in one way, shape, or form, or another, that it means your desires have to die. What you want has to be given up. Miyachena, this and that, concerns about parnasa, blah, blah, blah. Sacrificing that, you know, sacrificing this, giving up that, giving up this, that's adam ki yamas ba'ol. That's why it says if someone's blinded, it's as though they're dead. That's why it says if you take away their money, it's as if they died. Like by, who was it? Yaakov Avinu met Esav's servant and Eliphaz, grandson, whatever, and he says, well, just take away, I have to kill you, my father said, and he says, well, take away my money, take away everything I have, and therefore it'll be like you killed me, you know, that's a halacha, really, the father says, kill him, you can take away his money, and therefore it's like you killed him, now you're a makayim, your father, well, that's what this chazal means to me, that Rebbe that Elazar ben Dedaya, he finally gave it all up. He really gave it all up. And that's what we're talking about in this step, really, is what we're talking about. Giving it all up to God. And that's only going to happen in one way, action. Doing what's not comfortable. It's not going to come by thinking, sitting in shul and davening an extra long Shemoneh Esrei. Sorry. That's what feels good. That's what's going to convince me that I'm a good guy and I really gave up to Hashem. But that's not giving up to Hashem. Giving up to Hashem comes from getting out of my comfort zone and dying. That what I want dies. I sacrifice. It's mesiras nefesh, giving up my desire. And I don't mean my desire to have sex and sin and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to remain the same person. My desire to remain the same person and to do the same things and to keep hidden from everyone except for the guy wearing a bag on his head called Tshuva 613, who I'm telling everything to on Guard Your Eyes. That's like telling the truth, the whole truth, and everything about yourself that you're ever been ashamed of and finally admitted it to a cow. There's no one there, because he's hiding from you too. There's no one really there, and you never really admitted anything to anybody. There's no connection. So it's about relationships. Sacrifice of self, vulnerability is the only way to really create a real relationship. I become vulnerable to you, you become vulnerable to me. We're connected that way. And that's what happens. That's the secret of AA culture and why they have meetings at all, if it's not mentioned anywhere in the steps to have meetings. We admitted we're powerless. Well, the we admitted means to another person, a real life person. And that's what meetings are. That's why in the fifth step, after a person does a fourth step, there needs to be a fifth where they admit to God themselves and another human being. Why another human being? Why isn't God enough? Don't we believe in God? Well, yeah, but you also did all those things in front of God, didn't you? Wasn't he in the bathroom with you when you were masturbating? Come on. And you didn't stop. You did it 150 times, 300 times, 1,000 times. That's the problem. That's not the solution. God isn't the solution. You know, me telling everything to God isn't the solution. Me telling everything to other people, and by that learning self-honesty, which comes from being honest to other people, not the other way around. It's nasev v'nishma. You do the action and then you learn. It's doing that that really changes a person. So what are the actions that I need to take to really sacrifice my will? What is my akedah? Your akedah might be making a phone call when you feel like doing something and admitting to the other person exactly what you want to do, which, by the way, the Rebbe Melech says beferish and clearly in Os Yud Gimel of the Tzedel Katan, the same Tzedel Katan that he talks about giving over your will in the first piece. Dying al Kiddush Hashem, not out of guilt, but out of love. In the same Tzedel Katan, Os Yud Gimel, he says to share it with another real live human being. They didn't have internet and phones in those days, right? Share it to a real live human being who's a chaver, a mora derech, or a chaver ne'eman. Exactly. And va'al techached nemenu shum dover mitnei habusha. Not to hide anything because of tnias, nibble, habusha, etc. Tell it all, because that's what's necessary. Now, I don't advise people to go telling all to other strangers on Guard Your Eyes. I think you should find people who are in recovery and who are safe to open up to. Don't clap on the bima in shul and open up. Don't tell your wife, because you know what? Guys who tell their wives, the reason they're telling their wives and nobody else is because when they're guys, there are a lot of guys who tell their wives and nobody else. Why? Because he knows that his wife is never going to tell anybody because his shame is her shame. And she'll guard it and hide it with a tremendous amount of embarrassment and shame that anybody else would find out. So he knows he's safe telling her. That's cruel. You know, find safe people who are in recovery to open up to. Get out of your comfort zone. Sacrifice yourself. Sacrifice yourself. Give yourself up. That's called surrender. That's what surrender means in the program. Wherever it says give up to win, this is exactly what it means. It doesn't mean anything else. Surrender of self. And that's the whole, to me, that's the connection. That's the lesson from Rebbe Elazar ben Dedaya.
And I think that that's what the Akedah is really, the biggest value of the Akedah to us in our Derech Avodah. I think that explains also that piece that I opened up the story with from Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov, Yaakov Yisrael Twersky, that if you knew the derech that you need to be going on, you know exactly where you're supposed to end up, you're never going to get there, because there's no surrender of self there at all. There's no vulnerability. It's just more planning and figuring everything out yourself. So it ain't going to work. Have a good day. Have a great day. Bye-bye.